When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Let's stand. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with harp bells all ringing, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, my heavenly home, it's bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Pain or death can enter there, I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on, I feel like traveling on. My
traveling. Lord, I feel like traveling on my heavenly home. Lord, it's bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, my Lord has been so good to me. Lord, I feel like traveling on. Oh, until that blessed home I see, Lord, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Lord, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home, Lord, it's bright and fair. I feel, oh, let's sing it this way again tonight. Oh, yes, the Lord has been so good to me. Oh, I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. Lord, I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling. Is that how you feel tonight? Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home, it's bright and fair. Oh, I feel like traveling on.
Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Oh, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He is with me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world, they've taken wing. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
Oh, He lets me walk down
disappointment. He watches and he knows what's best for me. Change my life completely, that it will fit His perfect will. Oh, that's just His way of telling me He loves me. Oh, it's a love beyond all human valley. I know He'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. Lord, my greatest strength comes through my darkest trials. Oh, and my greatest joy that He can trust in me. Oh, that's just His way of telling me He loves me. Oh, it's a love beyond all human my knees. That's just His way of telling me He loves me. Maybe you're going through a trial tonight. If you're successful, child, just walking through this valley, our Lord will give you strength to climb your high. Comes through our darkest trials, and our greatest joy is knowing that He can trust in you and me. For that's just His way of telling me He loves. And it's a love beyond all human understanding. So I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just His way of telling me He loves me. Let's stand and singing. That's just His way of telling me. Yes, Lord. And it's a love beyond all human understanding. Lord, Your bride won't question trials, though it them to their knees. That's just Your way of telling.
blessing it is to know that we're loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. God bless you tonight. We want to look again at these flawed characters and want to pick up again where we left off with Solomon last Wednesday night in 1 Kings chapter 3 here. Let's read to begin with. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. What a request for God to say, ask what I shall give thee. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, you told us that if we would just ask that we could receive. And Lord, that you said if there's any of you that agree touching us on anything, if two of you would even agree, it doesn't take great numbers or multitudes, but you said wherever even two or three are gathered in your midst. And you said if just two would agree as touching anything, that you would hear and that you would answer. And Lord, we just agree together tonight. Lord, so many families, Lord, are facing different things in their lives. And Lord, that no doubt Satan loves to come and fight any way that he can. But Lord, I ask you just to be with each family that's represented here tonight. Lord, give them strength for the journey. Lord, if there's any that are, Lord, they have loved ones that they're praying for. Lord, we just apply the token tonight. May you just bring those loved ones back. Lord, if there's any with physical needs, Lord, we agree together, Lord, for healing of the bodies. If there's financial needs, we agree together tonight. Lord, you said ask what you will. Lord, we agree that, Lord, you're our provider and that you'll provide in these situations. Lord, if there's emotional needs or spiritual needs or whatever it would be, Father, maybe marital needs, whatever the people are facing tonight, Lord, I just ask that you would come on the scene. We agree together for deliverance. We agree together for peace in these situations. Lord, your prophet spoke to us in 1964 and said that you speak shalom to your bride. Lord, you speak peace to us. And Lord, may you speak peace to each situation that your bride is facing, not just in these walls, Father, but around the world. Lord, may you just bring peace to each situation, Father, we pray. Be with the service tonight. Be with each one that's gathered here. Lord, just encourage our hearts as we look into your word again together. We come for no other purpose but just to worship you and to draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, help us tonight just to lay everything aside and to focus on you and to give all of our efforts to you tonight, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. God gives this option to Solomon, and there's not a lot of times down through history that God just said this to somebody, just ask what you will. But he has enough confidence in Solomon that as Solomon begins to go into sacrifice in Gibeon, and there's an altar there, and he begins to sacrifice to God and to pray to God, and God appears to him in a dream that night and says to him, as we read in verse 5, he says, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon, he being, as you remember, when he's made king here, he's only about 19 years old, and all the pressures of the kingdom has been placed on him. His father David has ruled well, and he's been a mighty man of valor, and he's dealt with all kinds of situations. But now the torch is being passed to Solomon, and he has to pick up and begin to deal with situations that are going on in the kingdom. And Solomon said in verse 6, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Notice his humility. He doesn't say, look at me, I'm king now, and bless God, I'm going to do what I want to do. He says, God, I'm just a child. I don't even know how to go out and come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, there's something about it that God, no doubt, when he asked, as we looked at it a few weeks ago, that when God asked the question, he asked Adam, where art thou? He asked Jacob what his name was. He asked different ones what their condition was, where they were at, things like that. But when God asks a question, he knows the answer. And when he asked Solomon this question, he knows what Solomon's going to answer, but he wants Solomon to hear it, and he has enough confidence in him to make the right decision that he asks him this, and he begins to ask him, what would you have me to give you? And Solomon begins to tell him he could have asked for riches. He could have asked for anything that he wanted, anything in the world at all. He could have spoken. It would have been there. God tells him, just ask what you will. But instead of asking for himself so much, he said, God, just give me wisdom that I can judge your people that's been placed before me, that when a situation arises, I'll know how to handle it and how to go about it and how to behave myself. And the saying pleased the Lord. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like thee. And Brother Branham even makes the statement, we looked at it, I believe, when we started on Solomon here. He said, except for the Lord Jesus, there never was a man like Solomon before and after, as far as the wisdom to judge these type of things. And he says, and I have also given thee that which thou hast asked, both rich, that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Because he answered in the right way, and because of the way he handled himself, he didn't go about it proudly, and it wasn't all about him. Many times, even around the message, and even in Christianity, we begin to look at it. Many times people's motives and their objectives, if they'll be honest with themselves, it's very selfish, and they're out for number one, and to get whatever, you know, whatever they have need of. And Solomon has this opportunity. You want wealth all the days of your life? You want prosperity? You don't ever want to be sick a day again in your life? Solomon, what do you want? You can have it. I give it to you. But instead of asking for himself, he says, Lord, just give me a humble heart and a pure heart that I can judge right from wrong before your people. I wonder what we would have asked tonight. Wonder how many Ferraris there would have been in driveways, or how many supermodel wives there would have been, or how many bank accounts would have been enlarged, or how many people would have been healthy the days of their life if he would ask some of the people around the message. But Solomon's not thinking of himself. He's thinking of this kingdom that he has to rule over, and he asks not for himself, but he asks for something better. And God says, because you asked this, because you weren't selfish, because you didn't take it to yourself and say, I want this and I want that. And many times that's how our prayers are. Now lay me down to sleep. Lord, give me this and this and this, and help me here and here and here. And I want this and I want that, and give me this and give me that. That's all right. God wants us to bring our needs before him, but sometimes he wants to hear us thank him. And sometimes he wants to hear us praise him. And sometimes he wants to hear us worship him instead of just, Lord, give me, give me, give me. Brother Branham says this in Go Tell 1960. He's talking about Hattie Wright, and as we looked at it a little bit Wednesday or Sunday night, I believe we began to talk a little bit about it. He said that she had given some money to the church there, and when she did, Brother Neville, she had pledged $50, but Brother Neville wouldn't accept it because she only made about $200 a month. And he begins to talk about it here. He says, and I had $20 in my pocket to give back to the woman that she had pledged $50 on this new church coming up. And I don't say this to embarrass her. She couldn't afford 50 cents really to give it. But her heart in the message, she wanted to. Brother Neville, I believe, had accepted it. Wouldn't take the rest of it. Just let her give $20 of it. And I had two $10 bills in my pocket Mita had given me for groceries. I said, I'm going to give it back to her today. Then I thought something spoke to me. Said, Jesus seen that widow putting in her three pennies, and he never took it back from her. He let her go on because he had something greater down the road. Sometimes we don't, as we looked at Sunday morning, God sees down the road. And sometimes we're in a situation, maybe sometimes we can only see just barely in front of our face, and we think, God, why this and why that, and why did you allow this to happen? But God has something better for you down the road. He said he had something greater down the road. Little did I know he was speaking to me the same way of a widow woman. No husband. Her husband was killed. Neither did I know that the same one, when I said, then I'll just keep the $20, you have something else for her. And I said, the only thing I know, that Jehovah is still Jehovah Jireh. He's able to provide a sacrifice. And Hattie, not knowing what she was saying, this wasn't a rehearsed speech. This wasn't something that she had meditated and said, when Brother Branham gets here, I want to find favor, and I want to have all my words just right, and I want to practice them and memorize them so that when he gets here, I can say something. No. He said, Hattie, not knowing what she was saying, raised up and said, that's nothing but the truth. Oh, that's nothing but the truth, Brother Branham. Oh, my, that was the right thing to say. Oh, I hope we can say the right thing tonight to please the Lord. He said, that was the right thing to say. He says it again. That was the right thing to say. About that time, the power of God struck that place. I never felt such an anointing. When it did, I said, Hattie, thus saith the Lord, ask what you will. I don't care what it is. God has given me authority to give you your heart's desire right now. If you ask for $1 million, you can have it. Ask for that little crippled girl to get up and walk, she can have it. Ask for anything. She said, what shall I ask for, Brother Branham? I said, anything that you wish, for thus saith the Lord. He said, oh, what a feeling. She didn't ask for herself. She asked for the salvation of her two sons. But God, through the mouth of his prophet, he gives this woman the same opportunity he gave Solomon. Ask what you will. Remember, Brother Branham was there in the meeting one night, and a couple began to come in and act inappropriately in the seats there, a young man, a young woman kissing all over each other, and her sitting in his lap, and all this disturbing the meeting. And God speaks to Brother Branham. He said, say what you want. I put their life in your hands. He could have called for them to be paralyzed the rest of their life. He could have called for them to drop dead right there. He could have called for anything that he wanted to. He said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Many of us, we would have said, well, bless God, I'll do this and I'll do that. Yeah, that's why God didn't tell you, maybe, to ask what you will. But he told him, he said, say what you will. Remember, he was out there in the storm, and him and the brothers had been up there. Some of them went on back, and it was the time of his anniversary. He went up there to thank God for his wife, and here he is on a hunting trip, and the storm begins to move in. He gets out there, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and God says, ask what you will. He said, storm, you stop, and sun, you come out. And what did it do? He said, within minutes, he could hear the water dripping on those dry leaves. Not wet leaves, but dry leaves. Why? Because of ask what you will. Oh, I hope that God can have confidence in us tonight, that when we're presented with the situation and God says, ask what you will, that we'll ask the right thing. Remember, this was part of the third pull there, that speaking the word, that many of these situations, there he sat, and he said the first time it was put into effect, he said twice it was put into effect on animals, and then Hattie Wright was the third time it happened, but the first time on a human being. And there he sits out there in Salem, Indiana, and he's sitting there hunting, and he hasn't seen any squirrels, and he said, I begin to think about that scripture. Say what you will, and it'll be given to you. He said, I thought it would be one thing if it was say what he said. That's one thing. We understand that. But it didn't say ask what he said. It said say what you will. Ask what you will, and it'll be given unto you. He said, I began to think about that, and something spoke to him and said, where are you at? What are you doing? And he said, I'm out here hunting. And said, yes, and you haven't had any squirrels. And he began to speak. And each time he began to speak, it was more impossible and more impossible and more impossible. But yet it came to pass any. There's people that make fun of it today. I'd be scared to death to make fun of it. Oh, I wouldn't trade all of Bill Gates' money to be able to make fun of it. Not a chance. What good would his money do me when it said one word against it? Was to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Oh, not a chance. But yet, we begin to look and we see the things that took place. He said, now it happened on Hattie right there. And then on the storm. And then Sister Mita, she goes in and she had said, you remember, she spoke back to Brother Branham there and slammed the door. And he said, God didn't like that. And the gift picks it up long before science was able to. He's sitting there in a restaurant and with a couple families. And they're asking him about those gifts. And here down the third pull has begun to be manifest. The second pull has begun to be manifest. And he begins to talk to him about the first pull. And they said, You know, did that go away too? He said, no. And when God gives a gift, he never takes it away. Now, I know a lot of people around the message don't believe that today because they don't believe in evangelists or pastors or teachers or missionaries anymore. But when God gives a gift, Brother Branham said, he never takes it back. I know it's not politically correct, but we say the old statement, he's not an Indian giver. And so he begins to talk about it, and he reaches over and he said, see, there's nothing wrong with my wife. And he goes over and he takes her hand. He said, you have a cyst on your ovary. And she goes, oh my, why was it? Because God didn't like what was said there in the room. He said it'd be better that she spat in her father's face, reminded him of the scripture there in Numbers about Moses and how they had talked against Moses, and Miriam was smote with leprosy. And so they take her to the doctor, but yet the doctors can't find it, but yet it's there anyhow. It's in germ form, but the doctors can't even see it yet. And so time goes on and she begins to feel pain. She goes back and it's just in a little bitty form, just enough microscopically to pick up. And then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and finally she's going to have surgery, and she can't even walk comfortably, and he's out of town when she's supposed to have the surgery. The doctor says she's got to have it at this time, and here he is out of town, and Sister Wood goes with her to the doctor, and as she's getting ready to be examined, he's out there praying for her, and God said, say what you will. Oh my. Say what you will. What a peace, what an authority to know that God's got it in his hands. Amen. God may not wake you up every morning and say, Brother Doug, Brother David, whoever, just say what you will today. But he's still got it in his hands. He's still got it in control. The same God that was able to answer a prophet when he spoke to a storm, when he spoke to a dead fish, when he spoke to a tumor, that same God is still present here tonight. We may not have that same Son of Man ministry, but God is still God. He's still Hebrews 13:8. And he knows your need, and he knows your condition tonight. He knows where you're at, and he knows what you have need of. And so he begins to speak, and he said, before the doctor even touches her, it'll be gone. Said just before the doctor began to examine her, just a cool feeling came over. And the doctor said, now, Miss Branham, which side was that on? He couldn't find it. Why? Because thus saith the Lord, it spoke. Solomon's presented with the same proposition. Ask what you will. And he asks for wisdom to judge between situations. As a leader, he's required to judge between things. And people now, people begin to come to him there locally in his kingdom and ask him to judge between situations. And as God gives him wisdom, then it grows even more. And people begin to recognize the gift in his ministry. And they begin to come from other countries. The Queen of Sheba comes. And even kings from other countries begin to come and consult him and ask him questions because of his wisdom. And he writes proverb after proverb after proverb that we still read to gain wisdom, because God said, ask what you will, and he asked the right thing. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, oh my Lord, I am this woman, dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. They had a typical case of he said, she said, except in this case it was she said, she said. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. Now he's faced with this circumstance, and as pastors, as leaders, as different ones, sometimes we're faced with circumstances. And I always tell people, I'm not a prophet. I'm not ashamed to say that. I think some ministers don't like to admit that they're not a prophet, but God didn't call me to be a prophet because, you know, if he did, I would have been born a prophet. Remember, prophets aren't anointed. They aren't brought down and like a ministering gift where we come up and we lay hands on them and pray for them and ordain them. But a prophet is born a prophet. And so if you weren't born a prophet, people in Pentecost, they used to pray and fast and pray and fast and 10-day fasts and 20-day fasts and 30-day fasts. Oh, God, make me a prophet. If they weren't born a prophet, they could have fasted until they was anorexic or whatever, they still wouldn't have been able to be a prophet because prophets are born prophets. Many of these gifts, Brother Bram said singers and preachers and different things, you're just born with that gift within you. God knew what laid ahead in your path. And so Solomon's standing here and he's faced with a decision. And many times all we have to go off of is he's facing this situation. She said, this one said, that one said, or this person over here said. And to judge righteously, if you don't have a gift to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, like Brother Branham did, or different ones, to be able to look down through your life and say, well, you said this over here, but this over here is really the case. What do we pray for? God give us wisdom. God give us wisdom. Sometimes somebody come to the church and say, now I'm not trying to gossip, but I just want to tell you, this brother, he's been to this church and this church and this church, and this church has asked him to leave, and that church has asked him to leave, and that church has asked him to leave because they caused, you know, disturbances, stood up in the middle of the church, cursed, did this, did that, all these things. I appreciate those things because I'm not a prophet. And then our deacon brothers can know when brothers like that come in the back door, you better keep an eye on that brother. You remember what he did at this church and that church and that church. We're not prophets, but God by his grace gives us wisdom to be able to handle situations and be able to look into things and pray about it. And that's our prayer, is that God would give us wisdom. Not only me, but these other local church leaders and other leaders around the message. God, my prayer is that he would give us more wisdom, that we could handle whatever we're facing, whether it's pressures from the outside or pressures from the inside, or a political pressure, financial pressure, whatever it would be. God, just give us the wisdom to be what we need to be for the people. And so the king is faced with a decision here, and he comes up with a very unpolitically correct option for this. He doesn't suggest joint custody. He says, bring me a sword. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. Oh, Solomon, you cruel-hearted thing. No, he's using wisdom. He's using wisdom. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. I like this. Listen how the other one responds. But the other said, oh, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. See, wisdom was able to find the answer. Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, he does this thing that maybe it shocked his soldiers. Maybe it shocked his wives. Maybe it shocked the whole kingdom. Dear Lord, here he is. They're dealing about a baby situation and a custody situation. And he says, go bring me a sword. Is he going to kill one of these women? What's he going to do? And he says, bring me the baby and just divide it in half. Give her the left half and her the right half. That'll be that. Sounds terrible. Sounds cruel-hearted. But one of the women says, no, my Lord, no, please don't. Just give her the baby. Just let her. And he recognizes the mother's heart, which one was the true mother. Remember, Brother Branham talked about that mother deer, and there was something about her. Here, there was a man that was a hunter, Bert Call, that he talks about. He called him Old Lizard Eyes, and he's out there in the woods hunting with him, and he gets that little whistle out and begins to blow it of a fawn call, and he's just gonna shoot this baby fawn, just not because he needed the meat. Brother Branham said, you know, that the law allowed him to kill it. It wasn't that, and if he had been hungry and needed the meat, he said, Abraham slew a lamb, you know, and different ones, and all these different things, but he said he just did it to be cruel-hearted, and he just leave him laying there just to make Brother Branham upset. And he said he blows on this little fawn whistle, expecting a little fawn to come out there, you know, and shoot it. But instead of that, this mother deer stands up out of the thicket and begins to look around. What is it? I hear my baby's in distress. He said, what was it? She was a real mother. She was a real mother. And then she makes eye contact with the hunter. And there he is with the 30-odd six pointed right at her chest. And normally he said they would have been gone. He called them the Houdini of the woods. And Brother Luke and some of the brothers that are hunters, they know. Usually, you know, if you hear a little rustling in the trees, it ain't like with David, the song we sing, I hear a rustling in the mulberry trees and the move is on. The move's on, all right. They're gone. All you see is a few little hairs of their tail as they go through the bushes somewhere. What is it? They know that they're, you know, that there's predators out there and they're running trying to escape. But she was a mother and this baby was in distress. And she stands there and she looks into the hunter's eyes. She doesn't care. She's looking for that baby. Brother Bram said that gun began to go like that right there. He said, lead me to this Jesus that you know about. Amen. Here he sat behind one of the, I'll just say it this way, the most anointed minister that ever stepped in shoe leather except Jesus Christ. But it wasn't a sermon. It wasn't a tape. It wasn't a book. It wasn't a quote. It wasn't, you know, Brother Branham discerning something in his life or healing his wife or his grandmother or saying something that would encourage him. He saw something real. And let me say this to you tonight. You can quote all you want. You can show people all the books and tapes in your homes. You can get up and preach a fiery sermon. You can do all that you want. You can jump up and down like the prophets of Baal did and try to cry and shout down fire to heaven. But if you don't have something real in your life, people will recognize it. Amen. Brother Bram said, if you don't really truly love the people, they'll recognize it. God give us wisdom, is my prayer. Oh, the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. Now I know we get scared when we begin to call names, so just hold on here. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all nations around about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the famine, or sorry, rather of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions. I like how that's worded. It didn't say he gave her all the answers. It said he told her all of her questions. Remember, Brother Branham, many times, Brother Billy Paul and different ones will share testimonies on the private interviews. There was many times, and Brother Branham even testifies of it a couple times on tape, how the Lord had dealt with him. And Brother Billy Paul, he would know the order that they were going to come in and things. And he'd go in and talk to him, and he said, here they all are. Here they all are for the day. And you're going to send this one in next, and this is what they're going to ask, and this is what the answer is. And you're going to send this one in next, and this is what their question is, and this is what the answer is. And all the way down through, they didn't know, Brother Billy Paul didn't know what these people had to ask, but the people would come in and ask the question. It'd be exactly, Brother Bram would just show them on the envelope. He'd already wrote it down. Here was what your question was. Here's what your answer is. I was talking to a brother. We were taking a tour there at Voice of God. Took one of the brothers through last year, and he was telling a testimony that somebody in their church still had an envelope that Brother Branham had mailed back, just did a return to sender on it, and he had never even opened the envelope of the letter that they had written him, but on the back of the envelope, he had written the answer to their question, just put it back in the mail, return to sender, and they still have the sealed envelope where he didn't even look at the letter and read their question, but God knew, and he spoke through him, wrote it on the back of the envelope and sent it to him. People say, oh, you brag on Brother Branham too much. You talk about him too much. Why are you always bragging on that man? Why don't you go back and read Joshua and see how many times he said, Moses said, Moses said, Moses said. As was written in the law of Moses, as Moses commanded us to do, as Moses said to do this, and as Moses prepared these ordinances for us, and what was he doing? He was just looking back to what Moses said and putting it in action. I'm not here to bring you more than what Brother Branham said. I'm just here to try to put in action what he said. He told us what to do. Now let's put it in action. Amen. And Joshua kept pointing back. And one day, Brother Layton was talking about it the other day. He stood up and he read to them all the words of Moses. He didn't bring a quote that day. He brought the whole message. And he said, I'm gonna read you. I'm going to start in 47 and go to 65, so we might be here a while. And he began to read them all the words of Moses. Oh, my. They say, oh, you're following a man. Absolutely. If I was in the days of Moses, I would have followed that man right out of Egypt. If I was in the days of Noah, I would have followed that man right into the ark. If I was in the days of St. Paul, I would have followed him wherever he went, tried to be in his meetings and tried to say, hey, did you read Paul's letter to Timothy? Oh my, there's some good nuggets in there. Did you read his letter to the Ephesians? Oh my, thank God for that. So God sent us a prophet to teach us about predestination and election. Oh, you need to get that letter on Ephesians if you haven't read it. And have you read over in here in Hebrews about the law and how that Jesus manifested all these things? And oh my, you need to get that letter to the Hebrews. And my, we would have been saying all those things and people would have said, these crazy people following a man. It's not the man that we're following so much as he's following Jesus and we're following him wherever he leads him. Amen. Brother Bram said in Church Order 1963, he said, I know some of you brothers consider me to be your absolute. And he said, that's okay. As Paul said, just follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Oh my. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers. Oh, why did she notice their apparel and what they were wearing? You mean that made a difference? The way they were dressed and the way they were acted? You mean that made an impact on the queen of Sheba? Absolutely. It does today too. When you're walking down through Walmart and people turn around looking at you, what is it? It's the appearance of your apparel that stumbles them. They say, oh my, look, somebody walked in out of 1910 out of here somewhere. The attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in mine own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard. What did Philip tell Nathaniel? Come and see. Don't sit home and criticize, but just come and see what the Lord's doing. And so she did this. Brother Bram said that's the best advice you could give anybody. She said, happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on his throne, to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he the king over them to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, great abundance, and precious stones. Neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Brother Bram talked about it, how that she brought all these things on her camel train there with her. And there was thieves and all kinds of things going down through those mountains and valleys. But she brought all this to give to Solomon. But she didn't just get there and say, hey, we've heard some good things about you, so here you go. We're just going to give all this to you. But once she saw what God was doing, then she was blessed. And she said, if I'm blessed, I want you to be blessed. God always works on both ends of the line, doesn't he? God is identified in his characteristics. 1964, Brother Bram says this. He said, then we come down to human life, the characteristics between a man and a woman. There's a difference. I know a lot of people today don't believe that out in the sick world we live in, but he said there's a difference. They're both human beings, but the characteristics of the two sex detect them. And sadly today, you go into a restaurant and you have a waiter, or you see somebody walking down through there, and you lean over to your wife and say, what is that? What is that? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it an it? What is it? What was that that went by there? Why? They've got so perverted, their characteristics don't hardly tell them apart anymore. He said they're both human beings, but the characteristics of the two sex detect them. I was reading some time ago about one of the problems that was put to the test of Solomon by the queen, that she had some women dressed like men. Oh my, sound like she was living around this area. Had some women dressed like men, and Solomon had to walk and do a few things had them walk, rather, had them to walk and do a few things quickly. He said, them's women, see, because that he could tell the way they did, the characteristics of them was women. There's something about it that you can't hide it. It's a woman because her characteristic denotes her to be a woman. What a sick world we live in where they want to erase all of that identity, that they don't want to be, you know, gender specific. They don't want there to be gender specific clothes, and they don't want there to be gender specific jobs or gender specific attributes and all these things. And what is it? It's a perverted spirit out of hell. There's something, he said, about it. Her characteristics should denote her to be a woman. But today, they want everybody just to be the same. Oh, that's all. They don't want mixed restrooms, and they don't want mixed clothes. They don't want the women to dress like women. They don't want the men to dress like men. What is it? It's a perverted spirit. A perverted spirit. Sometimes that spirit comes right down in the message, and that woman may not walk into a church with a pair of pants on, and the man may not walk into the church with a skirt on, but you can tell by the way they walk and the way they treat each other who is really wearing those pants. He may have them up around his waist, but she's the one leaning around by the nose. It's that same spirit, just in a different form. Oh my. Well, preach a while, Brother Nathan. Figured somebody should say it, so. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. 2 Chronicles 9, 23. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. St. Matthew 12, verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation. Oh, if he said it about that generation, what would he say about this generation? The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is here. We've had a greater than Solomon, not only in the days of the Lord Jesus when he walked the earth, but in our day, there was another man that walked the earth. A greater than Solomon is here. A greater discernment. A greater ministry. It was the very Son of Man ministry that Jesus had. He was now performing it through a prophet in our day so that it could be just to the Gentiles, because the Jews and the Samaritans had seen that ministry in the flesh body of Jesus Christ. But now he begins to perform that ministry through a humble Kentuckian that came down and walked amongst us. And many of you had opportunities to meet him and shake his hands and different things. And we hear the stories that people told, and we're blessed by the testimonies. And how much more, not only, oh my, the earth will be judged by his ministry, because it went around and around and around seven times, and it's still going around in the tape form and internet form and book form and all these different things. But what about this area? How much will they have to be accountable for when there's still many of them out here with their shorts and their short hair smoking on cigarettes? Say, I knew Billy Branham. Oh, I knew Billy Branham. He was a powerful speaker. Oh, my. My mommy was in his meetings, and we saw some wonderful things. How much will they be judged when they saw and they heard? And the queen of the south came all over the terrible country on camelback. She didn't come in a Cadillac with electric ride shocks and heated seats and heated steering wheels and all these things. But she came on a camel all across the deserts with thieves and everything to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there's many that won't walk across the street to hear about a message in our day. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I'm thankful. We were talking the other day about, you know, some of the men that was right there, managers and things in the meeting, and they saw so much and they heard so much. But blessed are we, even though we maybe wasn't sitting there and heard it and saw it, that we have eyes to see and ears to hear, even though we maybe wasn't right there in some of the meetings. I know some of the brothers had the opportunity to, but the majority of us here tonight, we didn't have that opportunity. But how much more blessed are we that we see it and that we hear it, and we weren't even there, but yet we've heard the testimony, we've heard the report, and we've seen God backing it up and vindicating it in action. What a blessed people that we are. God give us wisdom to recognize the tactics of the enemy. The enemy wants to come in and destroy and tear apart and upset and do anything he can to hinder, but the work of God just keeps moving on anyhow. Right down the line, a greater than Solomon was here. and they turned against him. The denominations rejected him. The churches rejected him. Many of his own people rejected him. But yet, I'm thankful. I'm not ashamed. They say, oh, you're a bunch of Branhamites. Well, I guess if I was in the days of Moses, I'd be a Mosesite. Or if I was in the days of Paul, I'd be a Paulite. Or if I was in the days of Jesus, I'd sure be a Jesusite. So if they want to attack that label, I don't really like that label myself. I prefer I'm just a message believer. I don't worship the man, but I sure glorify the God in the man. But whatever label they want to tack on us, I'm not so concerned about that. I'm just worried about where I'm headed. I don't have to straighten everybody else out and tell them, you know, you got to do it my way if you're going to get there. No, I'm just worried about working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to get there, and I want to encourage anybody else I can. Come on with me. Come on with me. As I said the other night, Brother Bram made the statement. He said, God doesn't send anybody to hell. He said, the people do it themselves. He said that God provides opportunity after opportunity. He sends his word. He sends his prophets. He sends his ministers. He sends all these different things. And the people still ride right over the top of it. He said, God puts a roadblock after a roadblock after a roadblock. But he said, people ride right over the top of it and fight their way to hell. Oh, God help us tonight not to let Satan be so sly as to trip us up and to get us discouraged and to get us sidetracked, but help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Let's just, if the musicians would come tonight, I'm going to go ahead and close. I thank God for a man like Solomon. We'll read about him the next 2 weeks. You might think, oh my, did you really thank God for a man like that, all the things he did? Absolutely. God gave him wisdom. God called him his son. God allowed him to write at least 3 books of the Bible, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. God allowed him to do all that. And yes, Brother Bram says many different times he backslid and all these different things. But I thank God for a man that we can look to that had wisdom, and that we can even go back and read his words in the Proverbs, and it's a light to our path, and how that it encourages our children and things, that we can read these things and show them how that the devil will try to come in and attack, but how that God can grant wisdom, and how that if we cling not to our own understanding, but if we cling to his understanding, if we commit our ways to him, how that God can lead and how God can do these things. I thank God for a man like Solomon. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Oh, I'm following Jesus one step back. I live for the moment in his love divine. Oh, I think of tomorrow. Just live for today. Keep following Jesus. Oh, number 16 in your hymn book if you don't know it. Oh, I'm following Jesus one step at a time. I live for
must live for today. Keep following Jesus each step of the way. Oh, I'm following Jesus one step at a time. I live for the moment in His love.
Don't lose your vision. With the power greater than any.
bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, truly, Lord, where could we go but to you? Lord, we just commit the service into your hands, Lord. May every word that was spoken, every song that was sang, Lord, may it have a positive impact on your people, Father. And Lord, may we just go out closer to you than we was when we came in. Lord, just continue to be with each one, be with each family, protect and keep them safe. Lord, watch over them as they travel and all that they do. Lord, lead each one to your perfect will. Lord, give us more of you in our lives, we pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Oh, I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. But when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Is that how you feel tonight? Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want. Some worldly fame, if I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Old friend, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel it's fine. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I would take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, trying to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I know. Worldly fame, if I could, still wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, friends, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All their silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel its fire. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, he's trying to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want. Worldly fame, if I could, still I wouldn't take none. God bless you. Dismissed. Let's just sing it as we go.